Sister Sheila Hyde asked me, says, Earl, what are you going to preach about? And I said, about 5 minutes. And if Brother Lee had cooperated with me, you would have got off that lucky, because I asked him down at the Winn-Dixie the other day if he would sing until 15 minutes till 12, and I'd let you out 10 minutes early. But he wouldn't agree to that, so you'll just have to bear with me. My granddaughter asked me, said, Granddaddy, are you going to preach today? I said, yes. She said, are you nervous? I said, no. But there's a lot of difference in being nervous and half scared to death. So I leave you with that. You bear with me. When I talk to brothers and sisters like Precious Faith, I know that they will bear with me. If I make mistakes, you tell me about it, and everything will be fine. I'm going to read Philippians 4:11 through 12. Now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith in be content. I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I think what Paul is telling us here, that in everything that he has ever underwent, he has learned to be content. And that's one thing that does not come natural to any of us, is to be content. It's something that we must learn. So let's go back into the Bible and take up some of the people that we know of and just study them just for a few minutes and give thought on them. God placed Adam in the garden. Let's go to Genesis 2:9 and 10 and just read what happened there. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. God put before Adam everything that was good. He gave him a beautiful garden. He planted trees. He planted herbs. He planted everything that was good to the eye. God gave it all to Adam. Let's go and read now 2:19. Let's read that verse together. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them into Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. So God gave Adam everything. He gave him a wonderful environment. I know you people that like to garden today, a farm, and know how dry it is and how things need water. He even had a river to flow through the garden to water it. Adam did not have anything that he didn't need or he wanted. Adam was there with everything, animals, beasts, and everything that he needed and could ever wanted. God had made it so simple for Adam. He laid it out before him, thousands of things. I'm sure that there was there that Adam needed and wanted, but there was one thing that God told him he couldn't have. And can you imagine, out of all the things that Adam had there that he needed and wanted, he wanted the one thing that God told him he couldn't have. From the tree of knowledge of good and evil he could not eat. But he chose it. Adam was not content with God. God even made Adam a wife. That's a thing today that if you men folks, I guess, know a lot about it, that we have to go out and look a long time for a wife. But he made it simple for Adam. He made him a wife. Adam had it so simple, but Adam refused God, and he was not content with what God had laid out for him. God made it so easy for him. I know there are different thoughts among you of what caused Adam and Eve to sin. We will not discuss that this morning. But the one thing that I would like to get across to you is that God told him not to do it. That was so simple. Just the plain words. Here it is, Adam. I lay it before you. Don't do it. And he did the one thing that God did not want him to do. He could have lived for God and had eternal life, but he didn't want it that way. He took the one thing that God did not want him to have. He was not content for God to tell him what to do. You know the old saying back a few years ago, don't tell me what to do. But God told him what he didn't want him to do, but Adam went on and done it anyway. He was not content to let God be God and Adam be Adam. God made everything so simple for him, but Adam refused it. Can you imagine it? Just stop for a minute and think of all the things that he put in the garden there for him, how Adam refused them all and took the one thing that God did not want him to have. That seems to be the way mankind is today. Another group of people that was not content with God long at a time was the children of Israel. God wanted his people out of Egypt. Y'all know the story about where they went into Egypt and they stayed there for 430 years, I believe. God wanted his people to come out of Egypt. So he sent Moses in to get him out, to get them out. He sent plagues upon Egyptians by Moses to let his people go. And his people should have remembered all of these plagues. But they soon forgot all of them. The last plague being the one of the death of the firstborn of the Egyptians. Oh, what a tremendous plague that was, and how sorrowful I know it was there in the land at that time. When the firstborn of the Egyptian died and the Pharaoh finally decided to let God's people go. But were they content very long? No, they was not content too long. As they left Egypt, they soon forgot the things that God wanted them to know and to do. As they came to the Red Sea, they looked behind them and there was Pharaoh's army. They looked in front of them and there was the Red Sea. I would think that would be the first time that saying ever come to be is between a rock and a hard place. I can't think of anything being between a rock and a hard place any worse than Israel was at that time. Pharaoh's army behind them and the Red Sea in front of them. But Israel should have been content, but they were not. They should have known that God would not have taken them out of Egypt to take them on a journey to the land flowing with milk and honey if he wasn't going to protect them. They should have known that by all of the miracles that he performed for them there in Egypt to get Pharaoh to let them go. How soon that they forgot what God had done for them. When they came to the Red Sea, they said, "Is God brought us here to die?" They murmured to Moses, but they should have known better. They were just not content that God would do what he said he would do, that he would lead them to a land flowing with milk and honey. They soon came to the bitter waters. God has performed miracle after miracle for them, all the miracles he performed in Egypt for them, the miracle he performed there at the Red Sea for them. He opened the sea with a wind. They walked through and the Egyptians could not follow because the sea closed up. What a magnitude of miracles God performed for Israel. But Israel was never content. They wanted food. They got on the journey and they give out of food. I imagine it was food that they brought from them from Egypt. And they murmured to Moses that God had brought them out into the wilderness to die, that they did not have food to eat, so God gave them manna to eat, and he gave them quail to eat. God made the water sweet for them. They soon forgot. God was not going to let them starve. They should have known that. They were just not content with God. Let's just think on this just for a moment, the magnitude of God's miracle. I know nothing is impossible with God. God can do all things. God did do all things for him. It was not a miracle to God that he performed these great things for Israel, but it should have been a miracle to Israel that he performed them for them. Let's look at some of the things that he did. All right, they wanted manna to eat. Would you have any idea how much manna it would take to feed that many people? Quartermaster Corps has figured it out as closely as we can get. A manna, it took 4,500,000 quarts of manna to feed the Israelites for one day. What a miracle God performed for them. They should have realized it, but did they? They wanted quail to eat. 500 tons of food each day, or two freight trains each a mile long. But Israel was still not content. They were so discontent with God that when Moses went up to the mountain, they worshiped idols. And for worshiping idols, I know God sent Moses, picked out 12 to go to spy out the land. I think, just my personal opinion, that probably the children of Israel had already made the bed and they'd have to lie in it. But God was never discontent with them all the time. He got angry with them, but he still provided for them. He wanted them to serve him so bad that he continued on and on with them. But the children of Israel was not content to let God have it his way. So they sent the spies into Egypt, into Canaan, to spy out the land. And how many really was content that God would do what he said he would do? There was only two out of 12. And out of all the children that left Egypt and wandered through the wilderness, there was only a few that went into Canaan. Typical of today, I'm afraid. I hope not. The miracle now that he performed there, can you just comprehend, of 500 tons of food, two freight trains, a mile long? It's hard to comprehend. Israel was not content very long with God. They wanted to do it their way. God made it simple for mankind. He's always made it simple for mankind. He made it simple for Adam in the garden. He said, Adam, here it is. Life or death, you choose. Adam chose that would brought death. And he gave it to the children of Israel. Here it is. I promise you a land flowing with milk and honey. That should have been enough for Israel right there. Just the promise that God made that he would supply them. But they were not content. They were not content for God. Let's go to Numbers 14, 2 and 8. And just read just a little bit. If the Lord delighted in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which flowing with milk and honey. God promised them that land. He promised the land flowing with milk and honey. That was the promise that I was just talking to you about. That should have been enough for the children of Israel right there. Just that God promised them the land flowing with milk and honey. But they were not content. They were not content. Most of them died in the wilderness. There's some prophets in the Bible that were content. I'll just name you a few. I know I can't get them all. But just a few I'll name you. Noah was content with God. Abraham was content with God. Moses was content with God after God got through twisting his arm. But the one that I know Christ was content with God. But the one that I want to talk to you this morning just a little bit about that was really content with God. Let's go to Judges 11, please. 30-36. Talk about a man now, as Israel went on into the into the promised land, there was judges put over Israel. The judges that was with them, that was appointed by God, they lived righteous under those judges for the Lord. But there was, after those judges had died, they went back and they worshiped idols all the time. But here's one judge that I think it just stands out more than any to me. He made a deal with God, but which we are not supposed to do. God did not expect him to make a deal with them, but he did anyway. And Jephthah vowed unto the Lord and said, "If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth out of the door of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, surely shall be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering." Jephthah made a deal with God that whatever he would defeat his enemy, that whatever came out of the door of his house when he returned, he'd offer it for a burnt offering. After he defeated them, God kept his end of the bargain. Jephthah made a deal with God that what he would do if he gave them to him. So he did. He defeated them. And Jephthah then came to Mizpah to his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dance, and she was his only child. Beside her, he had neither son nor daughter. The only daughter that he had came out of the door to meet him. Can't you just see Jephthah now as he approaches her? With the vow he had made to God that he would offer her as a burnt offering, how he should have felt. But he was not only content to do this because he had told God that he would do it, but he told his daughter what happened. And here's what she said. And she said unto him, "My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon." She was contented that her father would keep the word that he had spoke to God. Not only did he know God, she knew him. And she knew that if he made a vow to God, that he must keep it. Now, it's questionable down here. People have different beliefs on what happened to her. You can read it when you get home, the rest of it. I asked you to do it and draw your own conclusion. But what I want to get across to you today, that he made a commitment to God that what he would do, and he was willing to carry it out. He was content with God. He was content that if God would give the enemy into his hands, he would keep his end of the bargain and give his daughter for a burnt sacrifice. Whether he give her for a burnt sacrifice, you'll have to study the rest of this out. But what I want to bring to you, that he was content. He made it to God, and he was content to carry it out. God has made his plan so simple. He has made it so simple. He said, "I give you life, I give you death. Either be content to live for me and have life, or be discontent with me and have death." I talked to a lady in the mill the other day. They have these trainees that come through, and they put them with different ones a day at a time. So this lady was with me for a day, and I was hoping that some way that she would come about to ask me what I believe. First she asked me, said, "Where do you go to church?" And I told her. She said, "Well, what's the name of the church?" And I told her. And right then she asked me, when I told her the name of the church, she wanted to know what the Abrahamic faith meant. So I just taken that whole hour that she was with me, and I was doing work. And I explained to her just as much as I could explain to her from Genesis to Revelation. And you know I couldn't cover much. But I hit the high spots. And when I got through, she said, "You make it sound so simple." I said, "No, God made it sound simple." God made it simple. God give us life, or he'd give us death, and for us to choose. Mankind is the one that has confused people. God has never confused anyone. God has said that, and he told them in the back in the Genesis, to teach your children every night, every morning, and all day long that I am one God. He wanted that stressed upon them so much that he was one God. And oh, how mankind has messed it up. They said, no, you're not one God, you're three gods. God made it simple. How mankind can twist it around to make it sound complicated, I don't know. Let's just read a few verses here in Hebrews 11:6, and we'll just see how man can mess it up. Okay. Here's the way it should be. But without faith it is impossible to please him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I've heard Brother Williamson get up in the stand time and time again and tell us how man has confused that verse, but God made it simple. If you read it here, that's the way it should be. Mankind would like for it to read this way. But it is without faith it is impossible to please them. For he that cometh to God must believe that they are, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek them. Now, can you understand how mankind can take a verse like that and make it read that way when God says that he is? I don't understand it. God made it so simple. Man has never been content with God. I'm not talking about the church of God. I'm talking about the religious world has made it so complicated. God has said over and over again that Christ was his son. How simple is that? Christ is my son. But mankind was not contented to let Christ be God's son. People wanted Christ to be God himself. How complicated can they make it? Christ was contented to let God be God. And he was contented to be the Son of God. Because over and over again, he tells them that God is his Father. He said, I can do nothing unless my Father lets me. And then when he left, he said, I go to my Father. How simple is it? How complicated man has made, and how simple God has made it. But man is not content to let God be God and man be man. They want to make it so confusing. We are on a journey too. We left Egypt when we was baptized into Christ, Egypt being symbolic of sin. God did not want his people to stay in Egypt. He does not want us to stay in Egypt. He gave us a way out through baptism. When we are baptized into Christ, we have put on Christ, and we started on a journey. As the world would like to complicate it and say to you today, that once you're baptized, you're saved. But no, we just like the children of Israel. When they left out of Egypt on a journey to the land flowing with milk and honey, they had a journey to go. So we have a journey to complete. We only started on that journey when we are baptized into Christ. We have to live a holy life and walk with God the rest of the way. He promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. And let's see what he has promised us. Revelation 21:4. He's promised us a land where God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. Israel left to go to a land flowing with milk and honey. When we're baptized into Christ and we go on our journey, we are marching toward a land where there'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain, and all these things have passed away. It's just that simple. He said, here it is, either life or death. And I'm afraid, I hope not, but I'm afraid that the situation that the world is in today, that there will be scarcely faith found when Christ comes back. Lest you and I be content to let God be God and man be man. Let's take him at his word. God gives us a warning about murmuring. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10:10, please. He says, "Yeah, neither murmur you, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples that are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new. They just more of it. Young people, before I finish this morning, I'd like to just say a few words to you. You're living in a difficult time. You're living in a time where there's everything evil around about us, but God has said that there's nothing new under the sun. If you don't believe it, you take your Bible and you go read it, and you'll see some of the same things happening today that happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. You have a rough time ahead of you, but I ask you to be content with God. Take God at his word, and you'll be okay. Just always put God first. I know you young people will be seeking mates in the coming future. I know you will. But I tell you this. Seek them with your head and love them with all your heart. And you'll be okay. I know it takes a long time sometime to find a mate. I know it took me a long time to convince Margaret that she was right for me. Maybe it was the other way around. But anyway, it takes a long time. Be content, because that mate you select is supposed to be your mate for life. And when you make that decision, be content to take that mate for life. And as I said, select them with your head and love them with all your heart. Be content with God. Let God be God. That's all of us as we walk, as we on our march to the kingdom of God which be established upon this earth. Let us all be content with God, to let God be God and man be man. Thank you.